We'll go ahead and call to order. Please stand and move your headwear for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ms. Janine, roll call, please.
Commissioner Hart?
Here.
Commissioner Veal?
Here.
Commissioner Fowle?
Present.
Commissioners Mello and Lindler are absent today.
Next item are the minutes from the January 17th meeting. Any questions, additions, modifications, clarifications?
I'll so move.
And I have a second, so Commissioner Veal moved. Commissioner Hart seconded. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same. Unanimous. Unscheduled appearances. Any person may address the commission on any subject matter within the jurisdiction or responsibility of the commission at the beginning of the meeting, or may elect to address the commission on any agenda item at the time the item is called by the chair. Anyone care to address the commission on items not on the agenda? Seeing none, we'll move forward. Any conflicts of interest to declare?
No.
All right. Documents, all items presented become a permanent part of the record. Please deliver them to the clerk. At the time, if you are a speaker, please be sure to include your name and your address, please. Names will be in the minutes, addresses will not. Availability of public records noted in the agenda. Run through briefly the public hearing protocol. Public is encouraged to participate in the hearing process. Chair of the commission will conduct a public hearing through the following actions. You can find those also in your agenda, items A through L. Right of appeal statement. Projects heard at this planning commission meeting may be subject to appeal within 10 calendar days of today's meeting. If the 10th day falls on a weekend, the appeal must be received the following business day. Please contact county clerk for information. Appeals must be submitted to the clerk's office together with the appeal fee of $1,250. If you challenge the environmental review or the project proposal in court, you may be limited to raising only those issues raised at the public hearing or in written correspondence delivered to Siskiyou County Planning at or prior to the public hearing. Staff, are there any proposed changes or requested changes to today's agenda?
No.
My ears. Then we will move into old business. Agenda item one, the Golden Eagle Charter School Use Permit, UP2308, addendum to certified mitigated negative declaration. And for everyone's information, the public hearing on this was closed at the last meeting. It was taken up by the commission. The commissioners had specific questions that both the staff were directed to address and the project proponent was asked to address. We will briefly open public hearing today, comment again, only on the new information that was requested to be brought before us today. No comments on issues priorly discussed. That happened last month. So the comments today are narrowly focused on the information being presented in the staff report today, I'm guessing by Ms. Lang. So we are all on the same page. With that, Ms. Lang, you have the floor.
Thank you. Good morning, Haley Lang, Planning Director. Rachel, would you mind pulling up this site plan?
Hold on just a second. Okay. No, you can't see it. I'm sharing the screen with them and they... Let's get this away.
Yeah, and then if you could just zoom in a little bit.
Sure.
It's the southern portion of the site plan, that'd be helpful.
Hold on just a second.
Okay, is that good?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So based on the presentation discussion during the January meeting, the commission had raised concerns related to ingress and egress, particularly during, you know, emergency and evacuation instances, as well as security and trespassing concerns, other type of transportation concerns such as, you know, lighting or the speed limit. And so, and also additionally, 4290 and 4291 compliance. So the commission had requested some modifications to the site plan, which is up here on the screen, and it's also within your planning commission staff report package as well. And so staff met with the project applicants, Public Works, and Brian Shinomi, Emergency Services, and discussed the types of design modifications that would be satisfactory to the commission related to the concerns raised with ingress and egress. And so what we have up here and what we decided on was to widen the existing ingress and egress so it would allow for you know, the two-way ingress and egress situation should there be an emergency situation, rather than, I know at the commission meeting last month we discussed, you know, a loop around, but based on, you know, suggestions from also, you know, Public Works and Warren Chilson, the traffic consultant from Headway, this is the design that was set on. Additionally, the blue hatching you see, there will be, you know, perimeter security fencing surrounding the property. Related to speed limits, Public Works is good with installing a 25-mile-an-hour sign posting near the school, and so that is added as a condition of approval in the staff report package. In terms of, I know there was initial discussion on some lighting or flashing lighting or things like that during the school session, and Tom Dini from Public Works can discuss later, but just felt that with the school being so close to the existing intersection and traffic, the lighting would potentially confuse more people, and so that's, you know, not warranted at this time, so he didn't feel that was satisfactory to install those types of measures with that. Related to 4290, 4291 standards, we discussed with CAL FIRE, the project site currently meets 4290 and 4291, and you know, any proposed modifications, they will continue to meet those requirements, which are formalized in our standard condition of approval related to CAL FIRE compliance within the staff report package. I know there was a discussion about construction work hours being potentially extended should the construction, you know, likely occur within, you know, the summer months, and so that's also added as a condition of approval for the allowance of that, so folks can get in there and get the work done. And so those are the main comments and issues that were raised, and so we have the site plan up there for your review. Additionally, oh, and then lastly, this has been a condition of approval, but there is a condition of approval that the applicant must work with Brian Shinomi from OES on an evac plan, and so, you know, to satisfy any of those issues, and so that will be submitted and reviewed and approved by the OES, Brian Shinomi, prior to permit issuance. And so, let's see, I also wanted to touch on, there's three emails I have printed out for your review related to the square footage. So there was a discrepancy in the square footage. It you know, initially read 23,800, it's actually 28,300, and so we have the emails from the consultants memorializing that with that typographical error. You know, the footprint was at the 28,000 that was analyzed, and so it does not change the results from the technical studies, but I have that just to be a part of the record today. And let's see, we did have a number of public comments, letters that were submitted, which if up to the commission, we can discuss today. But there was a comment letter prior submitted by, I believe, the B&B next door related to the noise. And so Paul Ballard from BAC had submitted a letter, a response letter, raised on the concerns submitted by the B&B, so I attached that as the, you know, into the supplemental staff report for your review. And that concludes my comments, and I'm happy to answer any questions. I do want to note that Paul Ballard from BAC, who conducted the noise analysis, he is here today if you had any specific technical questions for him related to any of the latter public comments that have been received. Also, Lauren Chilson is here, who did the traffic study. He's here in person, should you have any specific questions related to those issues. I believe NPLAN, who conducted the bio study, they're on the call in case you had any last questions for them. And then also Shelley Blakely and Nick Troper from Golden Eagle Charter School and the project applicant team are also here in person should you have any specific questions for them.
I have a question.
Okay, Commissioner Beal.
Yeah, on the two driveways in and out, are those one way in and one way out? And what is the width?
The width, let's zoom in on here.
It doesn't say anything, it's 01 and 03.
I know they meet, the width meets the CAL FIRE standards.
It doesn't say.
Oh, 20 feet.
20, okay.
Well, the gate's 20, so the driveways in is 20 as well as the... So they're both 20, and they're one way in and one way out, or both? They can use either way?
Yep. During an emergency, yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Ms. Lang? Okay. Would you like then to bring up the project proponent to address any?
Sure.
Okay, so project proponent engineers who are here to address the requested information, please remember to give your name and address and your affiliation with the project, and the floor is yours.
Nick Trover.
Is this considered public hearing?
No. This is... these are the professionals on the project who created and worked with staff to address the commission's concerns.
Thank you.
Nick Trover, Trover Construction Project Management, owner's rep for Golden Eagle Charter School, address 974 Forest Avenue, Chico. Really here to answer any questions that the council has. After our last meeting, we discussed the issues that Haley brought up to you. We talked about a couple different ways with staff on how to do additional driveways, and we came to this solution. We've looked at other routes up to the north or down to the south and back around, and county staff, fire, everybody agreed that this is probably the best option to leave any concerns about emergency access. Additionally, we identified the fencing locations just to show, you know, we're keeping kids in the site. I know there were some letters that came in since the last meeting, but if the council is in agreement, it sounds like that those letters, I don't know if they're going to qualify for additional public comment after we close public comment at the last meeting, that if they don't address the issues that are still outstanding. One of them was the letter from Dale LaForest, came in late yesterday. I don't know if that's going to be addressed today or if there's concerns with that, because it doesn't, I don't think there were any more noise concerns when we last left, so I don't know if that would be in the public record, if we should talk about it or not. So any questions you guys have for me?
So I do have one for you related to the fencing. A month and a half ago, there was a, during the open comment period, a letter with concern of potential trespass slash kids headed west onto a parcel. And I noticed with the new site map that you have a blue dotted line for fencing, and it disappears on the southern end about halfway across the parcel. Is that fence going to continue to the west and then head north to eliminate that potential trespass issue of kids to the southwest parcel?
Yeah, I think ultimately, I would let Shelley speak more in detail about that, but I know typically we try to have a fully enclosed school area. It is difficult because of all the trees, so we'd have to identify if we're going to actually fence off the entire parcel or connect into ends of buildings or something like that, where then there's areas that are not fenced because it would just be difficult to try to fence through the trees.
But the plan is there to eliminate that concern.
I would, Shelley.
Well,
come up to the mic, will you please? And then make sure you introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Shelley Blakely, Old Eagle Charter School Director. Address, give me that. 115 North Adams Drive, Mount Shasta. I will say on the southwest end of the property there, that connects to the Larry Wienemeyer environmental property there, where there's trails and stuff like that. It'd be really hard to fence right there. We could, but you know, like you can see, there's so many trees in there. I don't know if that's really a concern. I think more the neighbors to the south of us were concerned because it's really open right there between where the field is and their house, and that's why we want to put that blue fence there to address that.
Okay. Thank you. Either of you have questions for this gentleman? No? All right.
I would encourage if there are more questions after, if we do have other comments, if there are questions that we can answer, please.
Thank you. I got a question.
Wait, hold on.
At the last meeting, we went through the zoning that exists right now, and the different types of activities, businesses that can occur there right now without any additional use permits, any permission from anybody to do anything. When you did this analysis, did you look at any of those other potential impacts out of other businesses being there, how they would affect the neighborhood?
I honestly can't recall what the approved uses are for that.
And liquor store.
Yeah, I think it's commercial.
Station.
Yeah, so basically, I think where you're going is that if we wanted to, we could build a convenience store there and have a bunch of traffic coming in. Right. You know, that's obviously not what we're doing.
Bar in the summertime is like a freeway. I'm asking the question.
Yeah. We didn't. I don't believe any of the studies that identified any uses that we didn't plan on the planned uses for the school. So we didn't identify other potential uses. We'd have to have a plan and how big of a building. If it's a convenience store, let's say, how many people would be going in and out. And we didn't do any studies associated with stuff that was not planned.
I did. I forgot, Jeff, but I did visit the site and I talked to the business manager, Mrs.
McIntyre.
Yes. Anyway, and she told me what was going on there. Had a nice lunch in my chest. So,
did you have a specific direction you were trying to head, or
that seems to be a pretty big contention here with a couple of neighbors? Is the noise level, and you have a certain standard you have to meet at the property boundary. Period. That's the process. You meet that, or you don't get the project. If you meet that standard, I don't have a legal way under CEQA to refuse and turn the project down. That's a political question. That goes up to the next level who make those decisions. So that's why I'm asking. I was just, if there was any kind of comparison, just so the public would know, if we turn this down and board supervisors were that they turned it down, then the entity that owns this decided to sell it, and something like that came in, then nobody has any control on anything.
Correct.
So these are the consequences of actions taken.
Correct. Somebody could go in there and build whatever they wanted that fell into the entitled rights, and nobody could say anything about
correct.
It, and it could be a very noisy you know, a noisy proposition that nobody can stop.
Right. So it's, and it's, it comes down to people's property rights. They have a right to go through the process, and as long as they meet the standards under the CEQA checklist, all those different guidelines, then again, I just haven't any way that I can say no to a project, even though I don't agree with it or not. That's a political call, so that's...
Correct, and I'll just reiterate, you know, we try to be a good neighbor, you know, we're a school, we're not a, you know, we're not some for-profit entity trying to make a bunch of money off of this.
Right.
You know, we're trying to be good neighbors and do what we can to make sure we're having the minimum impact on the neighborhood, the area.
All right, thank you.
And if there's any specific sound questions, like we said, we've got our sound consultant and our traffic consultant here.
Good morning, commissioners. For the record, is the microphone on? For the record, my name is Paul Ballard. I'm with Ballard Acoustical Consultants. It's nice to see you again. My office is in Auburn, California. And the only reason I came up is because we did receive that 11th hour letter at 5 p.m. last night from Mr. LaForest, 15-page letter. I have read it and am prepared to put responses under the record, but if the public hearing is closed and that letter is not admissible, I will sit down. It's your discretion.
So have a seat here for a minute. I'm going to have a brief dissertation with counsel, and we'll answer that question.
Thank you.
So, counselor, my direct question for you, there was officially a motion. We followed the procedure last month. We closed public comment. The commissioners raised a couple specific items for staff and project proponent to address. Ingress, egress, clear communication condition showing a meeting and consultation with OES, signs, lighting, warning for school, etc. Condition on building, hours of construction, fence, clarification on the square footage of the building, and cleaned up language indicating meeting all CAL FIRE regulations, 4290 setbacks for fire safety. Comments were sent in. I'll be honest, if they did not pertain to one of those items, I did not look at them. Are we standing on strong legal ground to continue with the specific focus on those items brought up by the commission that we directed staff to come back with?
Right. You know, unfortunately, it's a little bit fuzzy. We do have the issue of the construction work hours, and why do they have those hours, and does it relate to noise? Also, generally, public comment, if the public hearing was closed, so normally that would be the end of public comment. We did continue it to today. Generally, I would tend to want to be conservative and allow comment. And to the extent that any comment might relate to what the Planning Commission wanted further investigation for this meeting, then I would receive that. To me, the Dale LaForest comment really depends, you know, on why we are addressing construction. A big part of that letter is regarding construction. Here we're just addressing the work hours. Whether that's also implied to have some noise, then the letter would be relevant, and I would tend to recommend receiving it in for consideration. So
all of the electronic comments that we receive are going to be part of the record.
Mm-hmm.
It is up to the commission
the weight we place on those based upon the direction that we had with staff at the last meeting?
Yes.
Good.
Yes. I mean, they are right. They're actually, they're going to be part of the correspondence record for
right.
sure, because the hearing's not closed. And that's why I say I tend to be a little bit conservative, and they can relate to what the commission asked to be addressed this meeting, and I would think they're fair game for consideration.
So, these came in last night at 5 o'clock, but we closed the hearing a month ago.
Right. That's my question for council, because I take issue getting comments at 5 o'clock last night on issues which are not part of the direction to staff. I have no problem receiving public comment on those issues which we directed staff to come back with clarification or more information. I understand your comment relating the construction. I think at the last meeting, and I was going back and double-check the minutes, it was simply in the original staff report, there was no mention of a window of construction time, which on similar use permits we have had. And it was noted it was missing. Staff came back and has it included as one of the conditions now. Condition 8 is the OES, but so it's properly listed. So that's why I'm asking you.
Well,
I mean, we can all grab our pillows and sleeping bags and go through endless comments over stuff
right.
we've already talked about, but was not, it was addressed by the commission. We have a narrow focus today.
Right. If it's sufficiently disrelated to the purpose we're hearing today, then it does not have to be considered by you.
Yeah, this is what Mr. Neal, of course, does.
Yes, oh, I know.
At the last minute.
I'm just making sure we have counsel on the record.
Yes.
Okay. So, Commissioner Hart, you have a question.
Yeah, I have a question, counsel. Is there anybody sitting here that's a noise expert? I can't tell you whether Mr. LaForest's studies is right or the consultant's right. But under CEQA process, when an applicant comes in, puts in his application, pays his fees. The county does an initial study to determine what type of environmental review is required. In this case, we needed a noise analysis. They then go and put out what I call an RFP, request for proposals, to do this amongst various contractors. It's an objective review. So you have another competing study that's come in. Last hour, I have no way to judge whether what he is saying is correct or what the contracted consultant is doing is paid for by the project proponent, but the project proponent has no involvement in the study and the analysis that they do for the county. In process, that I understand with CEQA and with NEPA, if should this thing go into court, a judge is not going to decide who has the best correct science. He's going to make his decision based on law and on legal process. Am I correct?
Yes. At this stage where we have a CEQA addendum and we don't have a mitigated negative declaration or EIR, the question can be, is there a fair argument? Not whether, as you just said, Commissioner Hart, whether who's right or who's wrong or who has the better argument, doesn't matter. If there are two competing opinions and one of the opinions is supported by fact and it indicates there could be a significant environmental effect, then really the next stage is, if there's a fair argument, then CEQA would normally dictate that we go to a mitigated negative declaration then, rather than an addendum. Mr. LaForest's letter comes in at the last minute after public hearing's been closed on an issue that the Planning Commission didn't explicitly ask to be heard, so you know, it's a little bit tricky. But you're generally correct. Where there's two competing arguments, then we normally go to a mitigated negative declaration, or EIR.
If we may for a second?
Hang on one second. So, Counselor, to be clear, in CU residential, by right, there could be a liquor store here, a gas station convenience store, an auto body shop, a laundromat, businesses that would be open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. By right. And there would be no need to come before us to do that, which would increase lighting, have increased traffic, and have increased noise. Correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Okay. If you feel that you really need to, you can.
I do.
Okay.
For the record, again, this is Paul Ballard, Ballard Acoustical Consultants. I'll be brief. And I want to speak to this fair argument discussion, because I've seen Mr. LaForest work for 25 years in his last-minute letters that come in, and he never shows up to testify. And in my professional opinion, we don't have a disagreement amongst two experts. We have a disagreement, but I have a, by way of qualifications, and forgive my lack of humility here, I've been doing this for 35 years. It's the only career I've ever had. I'm a board-certified member in the Institute of Noise Control Engineers. I've been recognized as an expert in California State of Law, Courts of Law, guest lectured in university acoustics courses, and just practiced and literally prepared thousands of noise studies over the years, many in your beautiful county. Mr. LaForest, on the other hand, I don't know what his degree is in. I don't know if it's a science degree. He has not been a practicing acoustical consultant. He was reprimanded in Oregon for trying to practice on one case, from my understanding. He refers to himself as sort of a professional commenter. So, and he allegedly joined the Institute of Noise Control Engineers, which you can do without having to take a fundamentals exam or an expert's exam, both of which I've passed. But we've checked, and there's no record of him actually being a member of that organization. So I just submit to this body that there are vastly different levels of expertise here. And so I have reviewed the LaForest letter extensively. I'm not going to go into it in detail this morning. But there is no new information in that letter that would cause me to reconsider my findings of significance of noise impacts or add additional mitigation measures for this project. So that's really what I wanted to say on the record. If you have any questions, I'm here for you, so thank you. Yes?
So, in your business, I'm sure there are probably yearly or maybe every 5 years, you have to go through and get everything certified. All your equipment has to meet certain standards, correct?
Absolutely right, and it's expensive equipment, and it's expensive to maintain it and to be certified with National Bureau of Standards. And I have to renew my board certification every 5 years, and I have to attend conferences and get education in order to maintain that certification. And I have done that for the last 20 years.
So back to the letter that Mr. LaForest has. He doesn't have any of those qualifications.
No, he does not.
We do not know what kind of equipment he uses?
I don't even know that he has equipment.
So, to me, the fair argument just goes right out the window.
That's my professional opinion.
Right. Well, that's my opinion, because I've done enough of these studies and stuff I've done with my business. I just can't see a fair argument being made here, because I could come in and throw out the same thing, and I have no qualifications. I don't bring any bona fides to the table to justify what I'm saying. And so, thank you.
Thank you for your time.
All right, so we are going to do a brief. So we've had staff, project proponents present. I'm going to reopen the public comment period for those wishing to comment specifically on the site map ingress egress routes, signage and warning lights on the road, and CAL FIRE 4290, 4291 standards. Those are the four areas of discussion for public comment. We will start with those in support first. I'll call your name, and if you still wish to speak on one of those four, please come up, introduce yourself with your name and your address, and address the commission. First name I have is Hazel White.
She doesn't have a comment on those four things.
All right. Jennifer White?
I don't either.
Okay. David Thino?
Thank you. My name is Dave Thino. 5390 River Avenue in Dunsmuir is my address. And I have plenty of great things to say about Golden Eagle that are not specific to this, so I will just address the ingress, egress, and safety security argument. So I'm the program manager for our current high school program at Golden Eagle Charter School. Our address is 2226 South Mount Shasta Boulevard on the cutoff road between the Highway 89 on-ramp, off-ramp, and the I-5, so that little cutoff road at the south end of Mount Shasta. And I just want to comment on what a vast improvement the proposed situation here is to our current position, which is the old Sardi's building. It was optimized decades ago for hot tub sales and RC-controlled helicopters and car audio installs, but we've been running a high school out of it for a decade and a half. So just to offer my support to the fact that this ingress and egress plan and all of the safety and security measures that are being provided for this are a vast quantum improvement over what my students currently enjoy. So thank you for your consideration and time.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak in support on those four items?
Good morning, Lauren Chilson with Headway Transportation, preparer of the traffic study, and I'll just make myself available for questions, but reiterate that we did work through with county staff all of those issues, have a good driveway design, did discuss flashing lights, school zones, and those things have all been reflected in the conditions now. But I'm here for any questions you may have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other support on those four items? Okay. I now will go through, I have two names here in opposition. I will call your name. If you still have questions or opposition to those four items, please feel free to come forward. David
O'Shaughnessy.
My name is Chris O'Shaughnessy, 1008 WA Borough Road. As shown on the VAC's figure 3, noises from a falling pin drop to a 12-gauge shotgun are shown on the sheet, curiously missing the 110 decibel noise level of 6 to 14-year-olds playing on a playground. We have guests that are sleeping approximately 28 feet from this activity, so those kind of noise levels are going to be unacceptable. The DNL noise levels is a noise average over a 24-hour period, because the DNL represents a 24-hour period.
Okay, I'm going to hold up here. Do you have anything in opposition to the ingress egress routes, the signage and warning lights, the CAL FIRE regs, or the fencing? Those are the four topics that we kept open for public comment. Everything else was for last month.
We didn't understand the process.
Okay, I'm letting you know. Do you have any concerns about those four items?
You've got documents showing things. We believe that the consultant is the best that money can buy.
Okay, I'm going to ask my question one last time.
No,
you
need to.
Have
we'll do,
comments.
We'll do one set, yes.
Do the you other, have comments on those four
we
items?
We do.
The
okay.
other thing we wanted to say was, and I heard Ms. Lane talk about it, that maybe the speed limit on Ream and WA Bar should be set to 25 miles an hour. The charter school will have people, not all parents will be able to have drop off and pick up their kids, walking and riding bikes and skateboards and stuff on Green Road and WA Bar Road without sidewalks, we think would be a hazard. So we were hoping that you guys would do something to facilitate the pedestrian traffic.
Okay. Noted. Thank you. So that takes care of both Chris and David, correct?
It does.
Okay. All right. Any other opposition on those four items? Okay. We will close public comment. We will take it back to staff or commission. And commission, Mr. Hart, I know you had a question on a condition, and I still have one on a condition just for clarification.
Just clarification.
Mr. Deal, do you have any questions?
Just a brief one.
Go ahead.
So when it's all said and done, who has the final arbiter on say, a traffic pattern or ingress and egress? Is it the county? Is it the state? Is it the planning commission? Or is it the traffic engineer? Who says, okay, this is what will be approved?
Right. Well, it's site-specific, right? So it depends. But, you know, for example, WA Bar is a county-maintained road. So ultimately, you know, the county would have a lot of say. And
I know, like, a state highway would have.
Correct, yes.
That's it. That's the final one. Mm-hmm. But in the county, it's the county road department?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it.
Right. Okay. For encroachments and things of that nature.
That was your
case,
Commissioner Hart.
So how come we haven't heard anything from the city of Mount Shasta? They claim sphere of influence, mm-hmm. and we have to address that when we're doing vacation rentals down there. And they've not provided any comment one way or another about anything down there, even though it's within close proximity. And they've had ample opportunity to chime in.
Yeah, we haven't received any formal comments from city of Mount Shasta staff.
So that would mean they didn't.
They saw no problems with what's there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because that just surprises me that I would have thought they would have voiced some kind of concern about traffic and foot traffic going up and down roads. But so my next question here: the Lake Siskiyou Mutual Water Company connection has to be approved. If they don't approve it, the project's dead. Correct.
Correct, but we already have a WLSR letter that was provided from Lake Siskiyou Mutual Water Company, so that intention is there to fulfill, you know, that need to switch over to their system. And so that's a part of the record as well.
Okay, and then the sewage is going to just like from Mount Shasta Highlands.
Mm-hmm. So wouldn't that be a come first? You'd want to know that you have water available before you went through all the.
Well, they have the will serve letter.
They have the will serve letter.
But
I mean, boards change.
Right.
Yeah.
And all those politics change, and they can decide, well, we're at full build out, we're not going to provide. So, you know, if you've already got that letter in hand, and then you change board members, by the time they get around to construction and they then pull that back, then what?
If they pulled back, then the project would have to be reevaluated, I would assume.
Or is that a civil issue between the project proponent and
the company? I could see that potentially being a civil issue.
I don't see
right?
where the county would get drug into that.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
Not
right
any
now?
Conditions that I see right now.
Okay. So the one condition I have is specifically on condition 15.
Mm-hmm.
And so 15 says A, meaning singular, 25 mile an hour sign shall be installed. Do, and this is a counselor perhaps question for you, based on the site map, if you zoom out, the property that is noted as part of school activity does border two roads. Should there be more than a singular 25 mile an hour sign?
I'll let Ms. Lang answer.
Okay.
I'm not sure it is a question for me.
Through the chair, we do have Tom Deeney, Director of Public Works here, and he can probably speak to the quantity of signage.
Okay,
that's
so
necessary.
Tom, please come forward, and the question is specifically in regards to the safety of the children and a parcel that is school property bordering two roads.
can you allay the fears, potential fears of high traveling speed, cars traveling at a high rate of speed?
Yes. Tom Deaney, Director of Public Works, Siskiyou County. My office address is 1312 Fair Lane Road. So the question, as I understand it, we got WA Bar and we have Ream. Public Works' plan would be to put a 25 miles when children are present sign on Ream Avenue on both sides of the egress and
ingress.
Yes. Okay. The in and out right there, because that's pretty much what is standard by the MUTCD, the Manual of Uniform Traffic Devices. Okay. I would caution against trying to put additional signage on WA Bar for several reasons. One, that is not where you're going to be experiencing the influx of cars and children. They'll have to make a turn off of Ream first. You could probably get by with one sign, but I would still recommend two. And that's what Public Works will put in. We're allowed to do that outside of planning commissions. Because you're going to have a drop in speed when you're making that hard turn in there. WA Bar is a high traffic area, and it's slightly counterintuitive. But we don't want to add a bunch of signs or flashing beacons there because it distracts the drivers. Study after study in both California and nationwide have shown that the lower number of signs you have on a road, the more attentive that the drivers are. So if I put a sign up there every 30 feet saying, hey, there's kids, no, really, there's kids, look, there's a flashing light, there's kids, people are going to be looking at the sign, and it's not what we want to do.
So where are you going to put the sign right at the intersection?
No, I will. The signs will be on Ream only, and it'll be after that turn. I'll have to go out and measure to make sure I have the proper distance for the signage. But I think more signs around the intersection of WA Bar and Ream are not the answer or a problem. I think will cause more inattentive driving right there.
So you're going to have one 25 mile an hour sign. How far up north from the entrance to the school, or to the church,
where the entrance is at? I would like to get at right at 300 feet, but I don't know the distance, so I'm going to have to go measure.
And how far
south?
300 feet, both directions.
Yes.
Okay. And there's no driveway out of this site on the Ream to the north?
Not currently. Not on the plan set that I saw. Now, if there were to be one, then we would adapt and add signs there as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you. You've addressed that question.
Thank you.
Through the chair.
Yes.
So staff can make a slight modification to the condition of approval number 15 to read 25 mile an hour signs will be installed to the satisfaction of Public Works.
That's exactly the amended language I wrote down here. Great minds think alike. Thank you. Okay, condition 15 was added, and we have condition 14 specific 6-6. I personally think it should go later than that, but okay. If project proponent's good with 6-6, I'll live with it. And we have clarity on the 4290, 4291s. And it has been noted that we now have consistency in the square footage. That clarification was taken care of. Any other questions from the commission?
No. I've got questions, but I can't really ask them. What's come in.
Okay.
After you already closed the public hearing.
Right.
It's a process. And that's what my frustration of all the years here. Stuff comes in afterwards.
Yep.
Raises some issues. This puts us in a bad spot.
Yes. So,
I'm angry with my death call. No, I'm fine.
You're fine?
Sure.
Okay. My questions from previous meetings, staff and project have addressed. I would entertain a motion or other questions should the commission so have them.
And one question, staff. Brown Act regulations on notification to the public. When this project first went out, what is the procedure that staff does? How do you notify them?
So you notice the project when it's getting ready for planning commission, is that what you're asking? Mm-hmm. So we send out the public hearing notice in advance, 300-foot buffer to the neighboring properties. And then we also post it on within the legal section of the newspaper. We also post the agenda and staff report materials around 72 hours prior to the meeting. So typically, historically, we've posted them on Fridays to meet GrownEct.
I'm going to go back better than 20 years ago. There were some projects in South County that Supervisor Erickson wanted notification out of mile, and mm-hmm. I got adopted, specifically with rock quarries, construction, cement plants, all of that. Those people within a mile radius mm-hmm. were notified. Mm-hmm. That doesn't apply here.
Correct.
Just 300 feet
right.
of the properties next to the project site, or 300 feet out, you could have multiple people.
It is next to the project site. Right, it's the buffer of the 300
feet. So you could have a property right here, and he's only got about 100 feet. Beyond that's the next neighbor, mm-hmm. who's within the 300 foot radius. Mm-hmm. He isn't notified.
Correct. Okay. Yeah.
And when you put that public notice out, mm-hmm. what's the requirement? I know you're required to post it here.
We post it here, we post it in our office, we post it on our website.
Newspaper. So is there a specific requirement that you have to post that in every municipality within the county?
No.
No. Okay, thank you. That's just process.
Correct, yep.
So that the public knows, because it's kind of, that happens before, right? How many times that, oh, you're violating Brown Act. Well, mm-hmm. we rely upon you folks to get that right.
Right. Correct.
I've not, in my years here, we've seen that ever transpire.
Okay. Anything further? I'll entertain a motion from one of you.
All right. I move that we adopt Resolution 2023-019. The Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, approving the Golden Eagle Charter School Use Permit UP-23-08 and CEQA Addendum Number 1 to the Mitigated Negative Declaration for the Evangelical Free Church of Mount Shasta, State Clearinghouse Number 19960. 52035 and State Clearinghouse Number 19961042248.
With the amended language to condition 15 regarding 25-mile-an-hour zones.
Right.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, moved and seconded. Before we move to a vote, staff, thank you for getting back succinctly with the information we requested, and also the project proponent for taking care of the site map issues and ingress and egress. Thank you. All those in favor, this is a voice vote, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Let the record show unanimous, and the project is moving forward. Next item. Agenda item, new business. I'll wait 1 minute for those in attendance who are leaving to leave before we start the next item.